Tonight we have three warning examples. We'll start here in verse 3 and read down to verse 7. Jude. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels which kept not their first estate but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the day of the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. You know, the last message I brought, we saw that the most treacherous, subtle enemy is the one that's on the inside. Certain men crept in unawares. And the greatest enemy is the one that's already inside. And that's why, you know, Paul told Timothy, says, you know, the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine. But you keep on preaching the word. The instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves, bring to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and shall be turned away from the truth and be turned unto fables. Men sayings. They'd rather hear a fable and a story and be entertained as to hear the gospel, hear the word of God. And you know, Satan sows his tares among the wheat. You remember in Matthew 13, our Lord Jesus Christ says, you know, the word of God, the kingdom of God is as a man who sows seed in his field, good seed in his field. But while the men slept, an enemy went and sowed tares among the wheat. And they got up the next day, and then after a while, when it started to come up, they said, where'd these tares come from? We sowed seed in here. He said, the enemy, while you slumbered and slept, he came and sowed these tares. And he said, what are we going to do about it? He said, you just let them alone. The Lord will do the separating. And so we're not here to root up tares or anything else. God will do that. He'll separate his people. And that's what he's talking. That's why our Lord warned about, beware of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. So he see here that that's why he says, now earnestly contend for the faith, because there's people that creep in unawares. They're men, and here's what they do. They turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. They turn the grace of God into a license to give themselves over to any kind of thing they want to do. And then they deny. This is the thing that's awful. They deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They deny the only Lord God, Jesus Christ. And He is the only Lord God. That's what it means here, that He's God. He's the only God we'll see. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Savior of sinners. And so they deny Him. They deny His power. They deny His grace. They deny His blood. They deny His rights. They deny His sovereignty. They deny His deity, they deny His eternality, they deny Christ, and they deny the gospel. If you deny the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to deny the gospel, because He is the gospel. The gospel's not a plan, the gospel is a person. Coming unto Him, to whom coming is unto Him. Come unto me. He didn't say come to a gospel, He said come to me. And the gospel is concerning God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you deny Him, you deny the gospel. And then when you deny the gospel, you've got to deny the grace of God. They deny the grace of God because they turn it into lasciviousness. And the grace of God does not give anybody a license to sin. No. In fact, the grace of God is one of the greatest motives in the world for us to honor and bless and live to the glory of God, because God did everything.
Amen.
And then I'll tell you this, when you deny Christ, when you deny Christ, I don't care how big a preacher you are, how faithful a church member you are, to deny Christ is to be without hope in this world. It's to be without hope. And though they deny the true redemptive work of Christ, that's denied. That's denied. Now the apostle says here then in verse 5, he says, I will therefore, when you see that therefore, in light of everything that's been said, I will therefore put you in remembrance. Though you once knew this, you knew these things, but I want to remind you about it. How that the Lord, having saved His people out of the land of Egypt, destroyed them that believed not. And you know, even though you already know these things, and that's what he's talking about, there's a certain fearful looking of judgment for those who don't contend for the faith. That's what he says, you know, he's talking about apostasy. About false teachers coming in and people coming in. And so he says, now, if you don't contend for the faith and the common salvation that was once delivered unto the saints, said there's nothing but a certain fearful looking of judgment and condemnation to those who don't contend for the faith. That's why, beloved, that's why Elijah says, you know, Lord, I'm the only one left. And sometimes, you know, you look around and you think, is there anybody anywhere preaching the gospel? And you come to find out, yes, they are. But they're getting farther and farther and fewer and fewer. When's the last time you heard of a young man starting preaching? God called him and he entered the ministry. When's the last time you heard of anybody going to a mission field with the gospel of the grace of God? When's the last time have you heard of a new grace work starting someplace? Huh? That's what our Lord says, strengthen the things that remain. And I tell you something that men can't do. When he told you, know, contend for the common faith, which was delivered unto the saints. Contend for it. This is what God delivered to Abel. It's what God delivered to Noah. It's what God delivered to Abraham. Abraham had the gospel before preached unto him. And men cannot contend for what they don't know. Now, is that not right? You cannot contend for what you don't know. And yet, they'll be without excuse. These fellows crept in unaware. And God, he says, but God, these were before of old, or men condemned and ordained to this condemnation.
Yes, sir.
And it must needs be that error come that the truth may be made manifest. And so he gives us three warnings, three examples, three great warnings as to why we should contend for the faith and what happens to people who don't contend for the faith. And oh, the danger of those who are falling away from the truth. The danger of turning from the common salvation, from the faith that was delivered unto the saints. And he gives us three illustrations here, great warnings. First is there the murmuring of the children of Israel? Have God saved them from Egypt and then destroyed the majority of them? And then there's the angels. Angels, apostate angels. How in the world can an angel become an apostate? Well, that's what it says here. The angels that kept not their first estate, reserved in everlasting chains, reserved unto darkness against the judgment of that great day. That's the second. You think you can't fall if an angel can fall? Oh, this is just serious business. I'm talking about, you know, apostasy is an awful thing. And then there's Sodom and Gomorrah. He gives us a third example, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, look here. You keep Jude. Look over here in 1 Corinthians 10 with me just a minute. These are examples. And I tell you, I've known several folks that's to me, as far as I'm concerned, they're apostate. When a man starts out preaching the gospel, then he ends up denying the redemptive work of Christ. He calls himself a four-pointer and says, you know, that Christ died for every man, gave every man an opportunity. That's denying the gospel. That's the heart and soul of the gospel, is the redemptive work of Christ, the particular redemption of Christ.
Amen.
You take that part out of the gospel and you got no gospel. Because if he died for every man, then his death's effectual man is not as depraved as the scriptures say. Some way you have to have a part in it. And so there's lots and lots of people that are apostates from the gospel. And it says here in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. And this is where God destroyed some of the people. He says, now all these things, they're given to us. Now look back up there in verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up and danced around that fire. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell one day 23,000. And watch this. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them did and were destroyed of the serpents. When they says that you know God sent those fiery serpents, it says here they tempted Christ there. That was Christ they were tempting. When they were murmuring against Him and complaining against Him and God sent those fiery serpents, He says, you're complaining and holding Christ in contempt. And then what else? He says, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured. Oh my. God calls murmuring one of the greatest sins ever was. And what murmuring here doesn't mean just murmuring and complaining over a headache or something. It means murmuring against God and His providence. Murmuring against the way He deals with you in this world. Saying this ain't fair. It's not right for Him to do this. It's not right for Him to treat me this way. I don't like the way He treats me. I don't like the place He's put me in. I don't like the way the preachers He's gave us. I don't like the church I'm going. And just murmur against all that God's done for you and complain about it. God said, He'll destroy you for that. And He goes on to say here now, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition, our warning. And upon whom the ends of the world are come. Oh, all right, back over here in Jude. Now, their destruction, all these things here that's given us as warnings, should make us be still. I read it this morning, be still and know that I am God. Just be still, just be restful. Oh, you're God. I don't want to raise my mouth. I don't want to raise my hands. I don't want to raise my heart. I don't want to raise my will. I don't want to raise nothing against you. I just want to be still and peaceful and rest before you. Because God's justice is the same now as it was then. It's the same power that destroyed them. It's the same power that destroys now.
Amen.
You know, Timothy says that if we deny Him, He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. And what that means is that God will not deny any part of His character, any part of His nature, no matter what anybody else says about Him. He will abide faithful. He cannot deny Himself. He cannot deny His justice. He cannot deny His grace. He cannot deny His person. He cannot deny anything about it. Men may deny Him. They deny Christ here. But He ain't going to deny Himself. And with all the changes that goes on in this world, and they go on fast, I mean, my soul. 20 years ago, it was unheard of to see homosexuals parade down the streets. Now, it's one of the biggest things going on in America. They're fighting in court over whether they can be married or not. And God says that's an abomination. He destroyed a multitude of cities for that one sin. And oh, beloved, and now with all the changes in the world, God's not changed. He that struck Ananias and Sapphira down for lying and made Zechariah, John's daddy, dumb because he didn't believe that he was going to have a child, and kept Moses out of the promised land because he muttered a few words that he shouldn't have said, and turned Lot's wife into a pillar of salt because she just looked back. That's all she done. He said, don't even look back. She just looked back. Bam! She turned into a pillar of salt like that. Moses, God's servant, the meekest man on the face of the earth. God says, you're not going into the promised land. You didn't sanctify me among the people. When you said something you shouldn't have said. You never honored me like you should have honored me. You never brought glory to my name like you should have brought it. Now you get to go over and look over, stand up on that mountain and look. But that's all you're going to get. Oh, that's what he says here in verse 5. I'll put you therefore in remembrance. You know, that's what a preacher's calling is. And we should do to one another, put one another in remembrance. That's a preacher's calling, to put people to remember. Yeah. Though you once knew this. Look back over here in 2 Peter. There's John and then there's 2 Peter. And look over here in verse 12. You know, though you once knew this. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. It says this. Wherefore, I will not be negligent. That's exactly what Jude said. I'll not be negligent. I'm zealous to do this. I'll not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. And still he said this, though you knew them. I want to remind you. I want to put you in remembrance, though you knew them, and be established in the present truth. And that's why Paul told Timothy. And he set down a whole list of things. He said, if you put these things in remembrance, if you tell these folks and warn them about these things and put them in remembrance of these things, said, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Say it over and over and over. And you know, that's the secret. And I heard Scott say this one time. If it's worth saying once, it's worth saying twice. And the greatest secret to teaching anything is repetition, repetition, repetition. And boy, he says, put them in remembrance of God's mercies in Christ. Put them in remembrance of the great free salvation that He provided. And our Lord Jesus Christ, He said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this wine, do it in what? Remembrance of me. And so, and I tell you, that's what we do. And that's what I've done this morning. How many times have I preached on the free grace of God and salvation to the Lord? And we just hear it over and over and over and over. And we're glad to hear it over, glad to be reminded. And one of the works of the Holy Spirit is bring things to our remembrance. You know, you think of, well, what was that scripture? And I was sitting, next thing you get talking to somebody, next thing the scriptures just begin flowing, and you begin to talk about the things of Christ, and you say, oh, and the Holy Ghost brings those things to remember. And a reason we have to be reminded is because we're so forgetful. We're so forgetful. You're not that way. I know you're not. But we must be reminded because we're so forgetful. And that's what he said, I'll put you in remembrance. And watch this, though you once knew this. How did we know it? How did these people know it? First of all, they knew it from the Scriptures.
Yes.
They had the Old Testament Scriptures. And that's how we know it. We know it from the Scriptures. And secondly, they knew it from being told. How many times have they been told? Christ said the same thing over and over. Moses said the same thing over and over. The prophet said the same. And they had these things because of what they were told. You remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Do you remember what happened before the flood? And all people tell these things. And what did they know? Well, it says this is what they knew. How that the Lord, they knew this from the Scriptures and they knew this from being told, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of Egypt, out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Now how many times have you heard that? But we're going to talk about, I'm going to put you in remembrance of this. That's what he said, I want to put you in remembrance. You know, here's the Lord, he had saved the people. He told Abraham 430 years before they were ever went down into Egypt, he says, you know, your family, your people, my people is going to be delivered into a strange land and be in bondage down there. But in 430 years, I'll go down and get them and I'll bring them out.
Amen.
Now he told him that, made that promise 430 years. And they were God's chosen people, God's covenant people. And he says, Abraham, they're yours and I'll go get them. 70 people went down into Egypt. 2 million come up out of there. And they were God's people. They were a holy nation, an elect nation. They had the law. They had the prophets. They had Moses. And he went down there and miraculously saved them out of Egypt. He's facing the signs that God gave, the 10 plagues that He gave to Israel, and then He brought them up, and He took them out with all kinds of wealth and riches. And He parted the Red Sea, and away they went on dry land. And then destroyed everyone that was over 20 years of age that came out of Egypt because of their unbelief and hard-heartedness and rebellion. After all that God... Will you think you'd turn against God after you walked through the Red Sea on dry land? Do you think you'd turn against God when you looked up every morning and there was food for you to eat? And then you got, you said, well, I want some meat. And then all of a sudden He fills your belly with good quails come down and you pick them up every day. You think you'd turn against God when the clothes that you had on and the shoes that you wore did not wear out for 40 years? Whoa. But God destroyed them. God destroyed them. Look over here with me in Numbers. Numbers 14. Numbers 14. And I tell you, this just absolutely, it puts the fear of God in me, these things do. I don't know about you, it puts the fear of God in me. You know, there's no outward privilege or profession that'll keep a rebel from the wrath of God. Huh? Numbers 14 and verse 35. Look what it says. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness, that they should be consumed, and there shall they die. And the men which Moses sent to search out the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. They went down there and they brought back them grapes, you know, and they had to carry them on poles. It's so big. Said, there's a land down there flowing with milk and honey. It's a wonderful thing. Everybody else come back and said, oh, no, we can't take that. Them men are too fierce. There's giants down there. And they just turned everybody against it. God said, I'm going to destroy every single one of them. Going to destroy them. And oh, beloved, how dangerous. And here's these people that went down into the promised land to spy it out. And they came back with all the evidence and proof that there was everything that they could possibly want, everything God promised them it would be, was. But oh my, no outward privileges, no profession will keep a rebel from the wrath of God. And how dangerous to sin against mercies. All promised. And they provoked Him. The Scripture says they provoked Him at the Red Sea. Here they was, they was backed up against the Red Sea. Here come the army, and they says, Moses, what in the world have you done to us? They seen the cloud, the dust just a-rolling. Moses, what have you done to us? He just said, just stand still. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And that's the same thing. Be still and know that I'm God. Be still. God's going to save you. He said He's going to save you. He's going to save you. And all, beloved, and because of their, you know what the cause of the destruction was? They believed not. That was the cause of their destruction. They believed not. Now I want you to, I've quoted this so many times, and I know I'll make you look at something. Look in Mark chapter 6 with me, just a minute. Mark chapter 6. They believed not. Look what our Lord says here about faith. About people not having faith. Mark chapter 6 and verse 5. Nothing, absolutely nothing, honors God more than faith. Nothing does. But nothing dishonors Him more than unbelief. Because to not believe Him is to make Him a liar. And look what our Lord said here in verse 5. Mark chapter 6. And He could there do no mighty works, save that He laid His hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And He marveled because of their unbelief. And He went round about the villages teaching. Couldn't do any mighty works down there. Why? Because they just did not believe. Just did not believe. Yeah. You know, when He cast all those all those that legion of devils into that those pigs. You know what the first thing those people told him? Leave us alone. Get out of here. We want you out of town. We don't want you around here. You got too much power. You'll destroy our living. We don't want you in these coasts here. Just leave. And that he did. He did. And I tell you, nothing dishonors God more than unbelief, but faith justifies God. You remember when they says, if you're the Christ, tell us plainly. And he said, I told you, but you know why? You don't believe because you're not of my sheep. You believe not. And when, you know the scriptures, our Lord says, John, there's never been a woman born of, a man born of woman, John the Baptist, as great as John the Baptist. And the scripture says that the publicans and the sinners believed John's testimony and justified God.
Yeah.
Said, God sent John. And we believe the message of John. We believe what God says through this man right here. And they justified God. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees rejected the counsel of God. And it says what? Against themselves.
That's right.
Oh my. I don't do that, do you? So there we have this is the first thing. I'm going to put you in remembrance how the Lord saved the people out of the land of Egypt. Afterward destroyed them that believed not. Now, here's the second warning in verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. This is just, how in the world does an angel fall? How does an angel, and his first estate? It's like Adam having his first estate. His first estate was in the paradise. Fellowship and communion with God. Walking with the Lord Jesus Christ in the cool of the day. Lord over creation. Named everything that was named. And they kept not that. Here they, God put them up here with Himself. They dwelt in the presence of God, in the light of God. They once dwelt in heaven itself.
Yeah.
They were higher beings, honorable beings, happy beings. And it says here, what did it say? But left it. They had a habitation in the presence of God, a habitation in heaven, and they left it. We get astonished that somebody could leave the gospel. But these folks left the very presence, these angels left the very presence of God, the habitation, a place where they dwelt and lived. They said, we leave it. They deserted their places of honor. Why would they do that? They were unwilling to be subject to God. Unwilling. You know, they were like, there's like Lucifer said, I'll ascend above the throne of the Most High. And God says, you won't. You won't. And He turned them out of heaven. Oh my, He turned them out of heaven. Look what it says there. And He hath reserved in everlasting chains. He's reserved them. You know, we have a place, a reservation for us.
Amen.
Eternal in the heavens. We have a reservation. God's got us a place set for us in glory. We're going to sit down with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to gird Himself and serve us. We're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. But these folks here got a reservation and it's an everlasting change unto damnation and eternal damnation of the judgment of the great day. And right now, this means this. Even right now, what it means is they drag their chains around with them. They're not in hell. They're reserved to that day. But they're right now, they got their chains. They got their that chain of knowing their eternal damnation and condemnation where they once dwelt in the light. They're dragging them around with them. That's why they said, Jesus, have you come to torment us before our time? They got their chains. They know. Wouldn't it be awful to know that you're going to be damned forever once you dwell in the presence of God? Huh? And oh, beloved, wherever they go, they got them chains with them. And to turn from the grace of God and to forever be damned.
That's right.
It's awful to think about. Look over at Hebrews 4 with me just a moment. This put the fear of God in you. It does me. I don't know what it does to you all. Hebrews 4:4. He says this. First of all, it says, "We which have believed," in verse 3, "do enter into rest." We which have believed do enter into rest. "As he said, I sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." The work was done. "For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all of his work." He didn't rest because he was tired, because the work was done. The word had been worked and were finished from the foundation of the world. "And again in this place, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein," some going to enter into it, "and they to whom it was first preached entered not in." Why? Because of unbelief. But he said some are going to enter in. That first people that had it preached to them, they didn't enter in because of unbelief. But he says there's some, and he started out saying, "We which have believed do enter into that rest." All right, let's look back over here. Here's the third warning. Here's the third warning. Another example. And everyone has heard of this. Every single, and in fact, they got laws on the books, and this is some of the language, sodomy laws that they got on the books and everywhere. But look how he said here in verse 7, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner." There was the cities of the plains, Zoar and some other cities. "In like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example." So there we are, set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And you know, people will... This is what gets me. People will read that stuff and continue on in that very particular sin and say that God still loves them and that they still believe that they'll go to heaven. Now you think God ain't blinded men and reprobated men, that they can look at something like that and still say, you know, that God loves me and I can be saved and live like that? Huh? And they even got churches where the preachers are that way. Lots of homosexual preachers now. And all this is one example, warning, and everyone's heard of this. He said, "I'll put you in remembrance, know you knew." And every one of us has heard of this, and have heard of this example. And this testifies that God will judge and punish all the ungodly. When people pervert God's gospel, they pervert God's grace, pervert His laws, and do the opposite of what He designs for man to do and be, it'll bring upon them eternal damnation and condemnation. And Sodom is a word that's used for sexual perversion. And they've got lots of books on the law, and it goes against nature. That's what he says, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh. When those angels went down to get Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah, those fellas went out there and banged on the door and said, "Bring those men out to us." And Lot says, "Oh no," said, "I'll give you my daughters." They didn't want his daughters, they wanted those men. And they've got to go around the door, and those angels went out there and struck them blind. You think man ain't a wicked human being? "And all give themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh." And I'll read it to you. You don't have to look at it, but I'm going to read a couple of verses of what God said about it. This is "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination." And he says this, "If a man also lie with mankind as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." But now look with me in Romans chapter 1, see what God says about this. Just, and you see people deal with this stuff all the time and excuse Him. Romans chapter 1, verse 26. And these things are set forth for an example. You remember Abraham, when he came down to destroy, when God came down to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he sat there in the door, tent door. Three of them did. And he said, we're going to tell Abraham what we're fixing to do. And he said, we're going to go down and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities of the plague. Oh, Lord, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? No, I'm the judge of all the earth. I'll do right. I won't destroy the righteous. He said, what if there's 50 righteous down there? Would you destroy it? Nope. If you find 50 down there, I'll save it. Maybe there'll be 40 down there. First 40 down there, will you save it? Yes, sir, I will. If first, maybe there's 30. Would you save it for 30? I will. He got down to 20. Would you save it? I will. And finally he says, oh, forgive me, that's me who am but dust and ashes for saying this, but would you save it for 10? He said, I would. And then he just shut his mouth. And you know how many righteous people they found in Sodom when Christ went down there? When I saw preached here a few weeks ago on Christ searching for faith, you know how many people they found down there that knew the Lord? One man. And you think Sodom had a profound effect on him and his daughters. His daughters ended up being perverted as them people was down in Egypt or down in Sodom. But here in Romans 1:26, look what it says. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one to another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. God says, you know, I'll just give you over to reprobation. You want that in your heart? I'll give you that perversion in your heart. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And a reprobate mind means to have no sense of judgment of what you know what right or wrong is. What you and I would say is wrong, they say there's nothing wrong with anything we do. And God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Huh? And beloved, back over in our text, it says this, that they went gave themselves over to fornication. And you know this is another thing, and I don't want to harp on these things, but nowadays, it's not. Most people live together. I don't know how many people live together and don't never get married. They think it ain't nothing to live together. Just live together. To my significant other. And these are perversions. And and people find no shame about it. They find no guilt about it. And if you say anything about it, they get mad at you and say, who you set you up to be a judge over me? Well, I'm good hearted. You know, there ain't no sense getting married. Oh, my. And this says here that these are set forth for an example. And boy, I tell you what, people think just because they're getting away with it right now, and that there's fighting in the courts and fighting in the religious world over all this stuff, and they're fixing to pass laws. Do you wait and see what I'm telling you? They'll pass laws where if you ever speak against homosexuals or any kind of perversion, that they'll end up being able, if they catch you speaking against them, they'll end up able to take you to jail and get you for hate speech. They're trying their best to change them laws like that. Yeah. Yep. And they set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Fire fell on them. Fire fell on them. They say, well, it was an oil well that spewed up down there. And all the sulfur and stuff from that oil well destroyed them. It didn't say an oil well broke up, did it, Gary? It said a fine brimstone fell from heaven. And that land over there where Sodom and Gomorrah is, you couldn't You could raise a cactus on it. It's just, it's like the Bonneville salt flats. It's absolutely good for nothing. Huh? And in all these three examples, where there was unbelief, where there was pride, where there was fleshly corruption, all these creatures, now listen to me, all these creatures at one time or another enjoyed a revelation from God. All of them did at one time or another. Huh? And they were all at one time exposed to His truth. But now they'd rather believe a lie. And one last verse of Scripture that I'll leave you with this and leave myself with it. Hebrews 3:12. Leave us with this. Hebrews 3:12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God.